Hello, I'm John Burns, and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland, a podcast for outdoor folk, and we talk about walking, climbing, and the natural world around us. And if that sounds like your bag, the sort of thing you're interested in, then don't forget to give us a wee follow on Amazon, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. One of the things I like to do in this podcast is to introduce folk to areas they might not know too well. We're obviously in Scotland, and there's some fantastic walking places to go. And one of these great places is Loch Lomond in the Trossachs. So I'd like my guest today has written a guide, Day Walks in Loch Lomond and the Trossachs. So I guess he's probably the man to talk to. He's also a YouTube star. So we might talk about that as well. So hi, welcome to the show, Jerry.
Hi, thanks for having me on, John.
Now, how did you get into walking and the outdoors yourself?
Well, I must admit, I've been a keen outdoorsman all of my life. I think I did my first rock climb when I was 14, and I haven't stopped since, and that's not yesterday. So it's been a bit of an addiction.
Yeah, it tends to sort of be something that gets in your blood. It's something you like to do, isn't it? Now, well, you wrote the guide to Loch Lomond and the Trossachs. Tell us, if for someone who's never been to that area, could you describe it to us and what interests you in that area?
Yeah, okay. So Loch Lomond and the Trossachs, it's Scotland's first national park. And the thing about the area around Loch Lomond is that it's an area of outstanding beauty, variety and ruggedness, with lochs and mountains and glens, and really something for everyone. But here's the key thing to Loch Lomond and the Trossachs. It really is within an hour's drive or an hour's public transport for probably two-thirds of the population of Scotland. Mm-hmm. So it's sitting just to the north of the Central Belt. And so on the one hand, it's super easy for the population to get access to the great outdoors. And on the other hand, that brings with it all the difficulties and trials of visitors.
And how big is Loch Lomond then?
So Loch Lomond is from top to bottom is probably about 28 miles or thereabouts long. It's I think it's the biggest longest freshwater loch in the country.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's a loch with three different characters to it, if you like, which I think reflects the national park and in its entirety. The southern end of the loch is a wide basin, was studded with islands, with farmland on its shores and gentle rolling hills. The Highland Boundary Fault, which separates the lowlands from the highlands, cuts right across that southern end of the loch. Mm-hmm. And then as you go further north up Loch Lomond, the character changes. The northern end of the loch is much more rugged. The mountains come right down to the shoreline. The hills are bigger, and there's far less. Well, there's no arable farmland at that end of the loch, and so it goes from the gentle rolling hills, easy wandering walks to Munros and more rugged mountains at the northern end. So it's a bit of something for everyone.
So it's a place of huge variety, really. Yeah. I mean, one of the things you mentioned that I think is quite important is that it is within a reasonably easy commute of a lot of the population, and obviously Glasgow and big conurbations like that, you know. And so has the area, do you think, been an important crucible, if you like, for the development for working class folk to get out into the hills?
Yeah, so the area, with its proximity to the major industrial centres in Scotland, really the hills of this area have punched way above their weight in terms of developing mountaineering and rock climbing and general stravaguing in the great outdoors. I mean, at the time in the 30s, in the last century, 1930s, in the Great Depression, a lot of the shipyard workers and steel workers were laid off during that Great Depression. And it was the first time where working men had an opportunity to go to the hills. And this area of Loch Lomond was the nearest thing to Glasgow and Clydebank and the Central Belt, and you can see that reflected in rock climbs on iconic mountains like the Cobbler, which sits above Arica. It's a fantastic mountain. It gets a mention in the book, and the rock climbs there were opened up by the hard men, working class climbers of that era, the Jock Nimlins and the like, and that's one of the things that sort of drove me to write the book and the walks. It's a lot of people are accessing the great outdoors, and I think the lockdowns of the COVID pandemic really brought a lot of people to look for exercise on their doorstep, and a lot of people are wondering about the hills now who never went to the hills before. And it strikes me that they don't know necessarily where they are. They may know that they're on such and such a hill, but they don't know what they've just walked past. They don't know that they've just walked past the Narnane Boulders, for example, which used to be a house for people to sleep under exploring the hills. And so I think it was one of these things that made me want to put these wee stories in the book so that people understood a bit more about what was going on in their environment, rather than just start at the car park, go to the top, touch a twig and come back, you know?
I mean, the Cobbler is quite an iconic mountain, really, isn't it? And it's got a, for those who've not been, it's got a particular sort of a little vicious thing in the tail at the top, hasn't it? A bit of a scramble at the top. There's even a hole in it, if I remember rightly. Is that right?
That's right. Well, there are three summits to the Cobbler, and the actual highest point is the most kind of inconspicuous of the summits, the center peak. But it's got this wee rocky scramble, as you say, to reach the actual top, and it's variously called Argyle's Eye or Threading the Needle. You go through this thing about that, and you know, you've got to be careful not to over egg things in a book, but you know what, it can be actually quite a dangerous place, because like a lot of the rock and the mountains in the north end of Loch Lomond, it's a mica schist. It's a schist rock, and it's lots of wee folds, and it's very smooth, and with all the feet over it in the years, it gets very polished, and it can be quite a spicy place to scramble about on, especially if there's any moisture, and we do get the occasional bit of rain here in this national park.
It has been known, hasn't it? It has been known, but nevertheless, I think what you said earlier, obviously, about it attracting people during the Depression. That would be clubs like the Craig Dhu, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they were sort of seminal in opening up the Arica Alps, as they became known. An Arica climber, a chap called Ben Humble, I think, was the man that coined the term Arica Alps. And I think it's very opposite for the mountains around here. Lots of, not just the Cobbler, you know, we've got Ben Narnane, which also has lots of short rock climbs on it, and you know, Ben Eam, Ben and Lochain, which was a traditional Munro, and that by that I mean it was on Munro's original list until someone came out with a measuring tape and found that it was not high enough, so good the motion. And then there's all these other fantastic Corbetts and lesser summits. In fact, some of the walks in the book on pretty small hills, the Wangy and Dumgoyne, these are also full of character. And
Well, tell us about that walk. And I mean, if you were someone who hadn't been to the area before, and maybe, you know, maybe you're not a strident Munro bagger, what walks would you recommend in the area?
Okay, so I think for sheer variety and sort of bang for your buck, I think the Wangy walk, which is a strange name, I'll maybe explain it as we go on. So there's a hill at the very southernmost end of the national park, just to the north of Glasgow, and it's called Auchinaden Hill, and there's a car park there called the Queen's View, and it's a very popular sledging and venue in the winter, and Easter egg rolling venue for Glaswegians. But the Queen's View was so called because Queen Victoria, who seemed to go to lots of places and point at things, went there at some point and stood at the Queen's View and said, you know, was most pleased at the view that she could see of Loch Lomond to the north. Mm-hmm. But the thing that the feature of this hill, it's a small hill, it's a roly-poly hill, it's got a nice big path up it, it's very boggy, but the feature of it is a geological phenomenon, which is called the Whangy. And this is basically a cliff which has been split into an inner and outer flake. And you can walk between these rock walls. There are rock climbs there. It's where I cut my teeth on rock climbing as a youngster. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hidden around the northern end of this walk. And what is interesting, and this is where I think, you know, for people who don't know the area, a guidebook is a useful thing.
Yes.
A lot of people have come to see this Whangy, this rock feature, and they don't actually find it.
Okay.
There's a network of paths, and it's very easy to take the wrong turn, the wrong fork, and end up at the summit with great views, but not actually see these rock structures. And they're worth a visit. The term Whangy apparently comes from the term whang, which is meant to be a whip crack. The story is that nearby village of Kirbeth, there was a witch's meeting, and the devil was in a bad mood as he was flying to or from this meeting, and he was late or whatever. And he whanged his devilish tail down and split the rocks. And it's something to see. And it's an easy walk. It's a short walk. There's a big car park. It's lovely paths. But as I say, unless you have a guidebook or somebody mm-hmm. that knows the area, you'll walk past this and you'll not see it, you know?
But when you say it's a short walk, what's a short walk? How long are you saying for the average sort of person, do you think?
I think, to be honest, the average person out for an easy peasy walk, I'll look at the book and see what I said. It's under 3 mile round trip. It's under
right. Okay. The whole trip is 3 miles. Okay.
Yes, it's a couple of hours.
And not easy. Massively steep, from what you're saying.
No, it's a hill walk. You should put on boots. It can be muddy on the top.
Okay.
I think most people would spend time wandering about the rock formations. You can go around the outside, and you can actually go in and see what's happening. I think what's happened is the glacial plucking event has managed to shear the cliff from the inner cliff, and it's quite interesting. When you're in this dark, narrow tunnel, you can extend your arms and touch each wall, and if you look closely at some points, you can actually see where you could push them back together if you had enough
super glue. Fair enough. You could repair the mountain, which that wouldn't be too bad, would it? So it sounds like a little walk with plenty, a lot of value for money there, really. Plenty of bang for your buck, really, isn't it? Interesting. If you had, I'll put you on the spot now, if you had to choose one favourite walk, one of the in the area that's in your book, which one would you choose?
Oh, that is difficult because, you know, you're an outdoorsman, you know, too. People often ask, what's your favourite mountain? And I usually come back and say, well, which continent, which country? But what I would say is that, you know, the Ben Lomond comes in for a lot of stick because Ben Lomond is the most southerly Munro.
Right, okay.
And it's, you know, I am a Glaswegian, albeit an exiled Glaswegian, so I need to be careful what I say here. But for most Glaswegians, it's the only Munro they'll ever climb. It's
right.
From River Denning. And so the shorts and flip-flop brigade are out there in the summer conquering the mighty Ben Lomond. But you know what? It is a fantastic mountain. It is a beautiful mountain, and it's got some lovely routes on it. And in winter, it is a proper mountain. I mean, I have been turned back with axe and crampons and hard winter conditions on it. So Ben Lomond is the sort of sentinel mountain, it actually means beacon mountain, of the national park. The views are fantastic. And you get this fantastic west coast thing that you don't get in other parts of Scotland. This mixture of lochs and islands and mountains, this juxtaposition of water, bodies of water and mountains. And Ben Lomond, the view from the top of that is fantastic. So I think, you know what, if you're going to come to the National Park and you're looking for a reasonable mountain to climb, you can do a lot worse than go up Ben Lomond.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm searching my memory. I don't think I've actually climbed Ben Lomond. I don't think I have. Well, there you go. So you've inspired me, and that's saying something these days, I'll tell you. So you've got me. Yeah, that's something I'll put down on the list to do. I think.
What to do if you're ever in this neck of the woods? You give me a call, preferably in winter, and we'll go up the Ptarmigan Ridge, which is a proper mountaineering outing in winter. I should say that the guidebook, the Day Walks, Loch Lomond and the Trossachs, excludes winter excursions. So we're really talking about summer hill walking. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but there is a huge difference between hill walking these mountains in the summer and taking them on in the winter.
I mean, it's interesting you said that in a way, because my first book was The Last Hill Walker. Yeah. And I wrote that about 10 years ago now, maybe. And I called it The Last Hill Walker because I was amazed when I came back. I sort of had a hiatus. I didn't go up many hills, and then I started to go up the hills again. And I didn't see many young people about, you know. So I thought, well, maybe I'm The Last Hill Walker. But like you said at the introduction, the COVID-19 has changed all that, I think. And I'm pleased that, you know, there's a lot more people, all different varieties of people, different kinds of people, young people, older folk. You see a lot of people in the hills now who are new to hill walking. Is that what you've experienced too?
Oh, very much so. Because I live in the heart of the Arakat Alps, I'm on the hills regularly, and the volume of people going to the hills is multiplied by, you know, it's not 50% more, it's multiples.
Yes. And which is good, you know.
It's brilliant. It's great to see people out and enjoying. And I must admit, when I bump into people, you know the tradition in Scotland. If you pass somebody in the hill, it's customary to say hello and have a wee chat. And I often will find myself telling people, pointing things out to them, and people are really starting to get, I think, clued into the hills. Although the flip side is that if it's their first ever season, was what, 2020, 2021, if that was their first time in the hills and their only experience is summer, I think I've noticed in the last winter a few people getting into difficulty because, you know, they've been out in the summer.
Yeah.
And thought, well, this white stuff that's on the hill, that's the same as I brush off my car in the morning.
Aye, that's right. Well, as I'm sure you're aware, there's been a dramatic increase in mountain rescue call-outs. And that's, you know, I like everybody, you know, I learned by experience. I learned by my mistakes. And I never actually got rescued on the Scottish Hills. But to be completely honest, I came pretty close a few times, you know. So now I mentioned at the outset of this, obviously you're a YouTube star. To tell us how this came about then.
Well, I wouldn't use the word star. My climbing buddy, Murray Wilkie, he's a star. So what happened is Murray, a great friend of mine, was a very keen walker, and he hadn't done much or any climbing. So when he hooked up with me, I got him into the climbing and introduced him to rock climbing. In fact, one of the first rock climbs he did was a classic on the Cobbler, the Recess Route. So Murray and I started climbing, and my particular passion is winter climbing, and we did some routes. And I used to take sort of GoPro videos, which I would edit, and they were basically souvenirs for me. As things moved on, I would post them on YouTube. But here's a crazy thing for social media, because I don't really understand social. I would post them on my YouTube channel, but I'd post them as private. So the only people could see them were my pals, you know.
Aye.
So anyway, long story short, one thing led to another. Murray became an absolute genius at making these movies. He started making these fantastic movies and getting thousands of hits. I was still busy working at the time, and I therefore was very much in the background, stalking about in the background, not wanting to be up front. Long story short, he now has a fantastic channel. It's called Scotland's Mountains. It has a strapline, Steaming Boots, because Steaming Boots was the original name of my...
Right. I remember that, Steaming Boots, definitely.
Steaming Boots were the original. And the quality, if I may say so, of the videos is stunning. Murray puts a lot of time and effort and skill.
Yes, I can see that.
And we've got quite a good selection of, you know, our exploits, both in the UK and abroad. And we've got walking, and Murray's heavily into his camping in the mountains. I'm less so. I'm of a vintage that I like my bed. I don't mind camping if there's some remote, far off summit to be obtained. But I don't do it for the sake of it these days. But it's another aspect of outdoor activity, really, and something which seems to be another growing thing.
I think so. I mean, you know, it's amazing to think that, oh, not that long ago, to make a film of yourself climbing a hill would have required a film crew, and you can now do it on your phone. it's great that people do. I think it's a new aspect of creativity that is blossoming on the hills, you know. So you're obviously still very keen on your hills. You're obviously still getting out a lot. You've still got a lot of things you want to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the outdoors has been my life. When I was working, every spare moment was spent in the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And now that I've just recently retired, and
good, isn't it?
I can recommend it. I can recommend it. The only thing I did say to my wife is that I think I need an assistant, because there are so many demands on people wanting to go paddling or up hills or rock
climbing. I know. It can be. I retired a few years ago, and I always have to pinch myself when it's on a Monday morning, and I don't have to go anywhere or do it. I can go where I want, you know.
There is a slight feeling of guilt, but I'm coming to terms with it.
Yeah, you learn to overcome that in time. Yeah. That's basically it, you know. Yeah. Well, listen, it's been great talking to you. You know, your book sounds really interesting, and you've actually inspired me and made me realize that. See, I'm Inverness based, and I'm further north than you. Yep. So I've it's a strange thing. I go north. It's a bit like I'm magnetic, you know. I always go north, but actually I should try going south now and again and have a look at
It's good to get out of your local stomping ground, isn't it?
It is.
Ben Lomond is your Ben Wyvis, you know, so...
don't say that. Yeah, Ben Wyvis, a very nice place, I should say, but it's very close to Inverness. I've been up it quite a few times. Jerry McGarry, thanks very much for talking to me. I'll put some links, and maybe I'll share one of the YouTube videos from Scotland's mountains on the page, so folk can have a look at that.
Maybe one that's based in the national park. There's quite a few.
That's brilliant.
One of the ones from the book, maybe. Yeah,
that sounds a good plan to me. Thanks very much for talking to me, and maybe I'll see you on the hills one day.
We'll make a plan. Let's make it happen. Great, John.
Okay. Thanks very much. Bye, Jerry.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And that was Jerry McGarry talking about his book, Day Walks in Loch Lomond and the Trossachs. And I'll include a little link to his book on the webpage for this podcast. And also, let's hope we can include a couple of, maybe a link to the YouTube channel as well, at Scotland's Mountains. I do hope you've enjoyed our little show. If there's anybody you'd like me to talk to, or indeed, if you want to come on the show yourself, we're not choosy. Well, let's face it, I'm on it. You're very welcome. Give us a shout and we'll see what we can do. And don't forget, if you enjoy the show, give us a wee follow on Amazon, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. I've been John Burns, and I'll see you again. Thanks. Bye-bye.